Good morning, everyone. Welcome to you all here this morning, those who are here week by week, those who may be visiting, and whoever you are so welcome to this service this morning. One announcement: that on Sunday there is only one service here, and that's at 9:30, and it will include Holy Communion. I just want to make a comment about the attacks in Brussels, which have just hit us at this time, at this Easter time, as we come to celebrate or think about death and resurrection. And there is a letter, our moderator put out an Easter message, and then following the events that have happened this week, she's actually sent out a second one. Now, it's quite long, and I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I will make sure that it is printed out and put on the notice board for Sunday. But I just thought I would read the first paragraph or two. As we approach Easter this year, our world is reeling from another act of violence that has targeted innocent people going about their ordinary activities. The bombing that has taken place in the airport and at a train station in Brussels is an outrageous act, one that tragically echoes those in other parts of our world over the last 12 months. An act of violence is at the heart of the Easter event. An innocent man, Jesus, the embodiment of God's love and compassion, was executed. Jesus died on a cross because there were those who were threatened by his ministry, his message of love and justice, his advocacy for the poor and marginalised. There are those in our world today who would undermine others, who desire a world where we live at peace with one another, respecting our differences. So that's about a quarter of what she has to say, so I'll just leave the rest for to put up on the message board. It is on the website, the Uniting Church South Australia website, if you want to read it. So our call to worship. Jesus, as we start once again to follow you on the way to the cross, we are apprehensive, for we are not sure of ourselves. On our journey, we have often been afraid, often sought safe options, often avoided the sharp solution. On our journey, we have often tried to hide our real selves from others, from ourselves, and from you. We who dare to say we are following you know how faltering are our footsteps, how delicate our discipleship, how feeble our faith. Yet you still call us by name and invite us into your company and onto your road. So give us the courage and the commitment we need. Help us to look out for one another on the road. Show us how we may share the duty and joy of discipleship, knowing that in the end it is you that accompanies us and says our name. Amen. So the words of the song are on your order of service. I hope there's enough for everyone. If not, we might need to share amongst you. But when I survey the wondrous cross, let us sing together. Today we will follow Jesus as he journeys to his death, as his disciples did at that fateful Passover. We will follow the stations of the cross with readings and drama to help our imagination. In between each station, Craig will say a sentence of reflection and the first sentence of a prayer. And then you are invited to respond with the words in bold print on your order of service. And I made a decision not to use the overhead today because I wanted it to concentrate on here, and also so that you can take the service home with you afterwards to reflect on over the weekend. We'll remain seated during the last song, and at the end there will be silence, and when you are ready, you just get up and leave. Our story today is framed in a purple shroud. Around this death lies a purple shroud of mystery, a shroud which holds life so true and free that even in death it cannot be contained. Around this death lies a purple shroud of grieving, a shroud which is wet with our tears, our gratitude, and our sadness. Around this death lies a purple shroud of honour, a shroud within which the Christ has encountered human reality in ways which are open to all the pain and wounding which lie there. Let our story begin.
While they were eating, Jesus took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it, gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." I tell you, I will never again drink of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom.
In ritual and in our hearts, we remember Christ's gift to the whole world. From this last meal with your friends, gracious Christ, you handed on to us the continuing source of strength for our journey through life. Okay. And ready to receive your great gift.
Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be grieved and agitated. Then he said to them, "I am deeply grieved, even to death. Remain here and stay awake with me." And going a little further, he threw himself on the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not what I want, but what you want." Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping, and he said to Peter, "So, could you not stay awake with me 1 hour? Stay awake and pray that you may not come into the time of trial. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again he went away for the second time and prayed, "My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done." Again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words. When he came to the disciples, he said to them, "Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? See, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand."
Your tears for the world and your determination to bring about healing teach us how to live. Passionate Christ, as you faced the days of suffering and sorrow, you were constant and faithful to God's way. Pray that we may be constant and attentive and have the strength to put you first.
Those who had arrested Jesus took him to Caiaphas, the high priest, in whose house the scribes and the elders had gathered. But Peter was following him at a distance, as far as the courtyard of the high priest, and going inside, he sat with the guards in order to see how this would end. Now the chief priests and the whole council were looking for false testimony against Jesus, so that they might put him to death. But they found none, though many false witnesses came forward. At last, two came forward and said, "This fellow said, 'I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days.'" The high priest stood up and said, "Have you no answer? What is it that they testify against you?" But Jesus was silent. Then the high priest said to him, "I put you under oath before the living God. Tell us if you are the Messiah, the Son of God."
Jesus said to him, "You have said so, but I tell you, from now on you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power, and coming on the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest tore his clothes and said, "He has blasphemed. Why do we still need witnesses? You have now heard his blasphemy. What is your verdict?" They answered, "He deserves death." Then they spat in his face and struck him, and some slapped him.
Even when you were ridiculed and beaten, we are reminded that you reveal God with us. God with us even when we are ridiculed and beaten. God's power revealed in you, Holy Christ, is evident even in the silence, in our wavering uncertainty. We are often mute onlookers, that we may be faithful to you and be your voice speaking up for the outcast and abused.
So Pilate went out to them and said, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" They answered, "If this man were not a criminal, we would not have handed him over to you." Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and judge him according to your law." The Jews replied, "We are not permitted to put anyone to death." Then Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus and asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews?"
Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice."
In our own certainties and prejudices, do we obscure and limit the truth? Steadfast Christ, you are condemned by social and legal structures, but not overcome by them. We pray that we may have the courage to stand up for the truth in the face of any distractions and hardship that may divert us.
Then Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged. And the soldiers wove a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and then they dressed him in a purple robe. They kept coming up to him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews," and striking him on the face. Pilate went out again and said to them, "Look, I am bringing him out to you to let you know that I find no case against him." So Jesus came out, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. Pilate said to them, "Here is the man." When the chief priests and the police saw him, they shouted, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and crucify him. I find no case against him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and according to that law, he ought to die because he has claimed to be the Son of God."
Do we speak up against the injustices that people suffer? Holy Christ, although innocent, you were whipped and cruelly crowned with thorns because of the corruption and fear of others. But you were not corrupted. Pray that we may resist the temptation to judge and condemn others, ignoring our own deceit.
Then Pilate handed him over to them to be crucified. So they took Jesus, and carrying the cross by himself, he went out to what is called the place of the skull, which in Hebrew is called Golgotha.
How willing are we to walk the way of Jesus and share the burden of care? Loving Christ, on your shoulders and in your heart, you carried the weight of our unfaithfulness without flinching. We may always be thankful to you for this journey to the place of your death, a journey which was to give us true life.
As they led him away, they seized a man, Simon of Cyrene, who was coming from the country, and they laid the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus.
What things are we asked to do as followers of the way? Who turns to us asking for help, for themselves or others? Compassionate Jesus Christ, your promise is that always we will have the resources for the tasks that are put before us. We pray that we may be open and responsive to the needs around us.
A great number of the people followed him, and among them were women who were beating their breasts and wailing for him. But Jesus turned to them and said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children."
Do we stop and show our concern for the suffering and sorrow of the innocent ones? Watchful Jesus Christ, we thank you for your constant love for us all and your special care for those on the margins. Respond to this faithfulness, and by reaching out to those who are in despair and grieving.
When they came to the place that is called the Skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they cast lots to divide his clothing. And the people stood by, watching. But the leaders scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Messiah of God, his chosen one." One of the criminals who were hanged there kept deriding him and saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He replied, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise."
Do we have the courage to admit our own failings? Holy Jesus, you invite us to change our ways and live with you in justice and compassion for everyone. Pray that we may respond to your call to live life differently in the freedom you claimed for us and from the cross.
Meanwhile, standing near the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing there beside her, he said to his mother, "Woman, here is your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Here is your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own home.
Do parents and children show faithfulness and love towards one another, as Mary and Jesus did? Jesus, Mary's son, you were aware of your mother's lasting love and devotion, even as you were dying, and showed your care for her to the end. We pray that we may always show respect and love.
When it was noon, Darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. At 3 o'clock, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Then Jesus, crying with a loud voice, said, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." Having said this, he breathed his last.
Are we willing to relinquish our impulses that Christ might live in us? Redeeming Christ, through your life and your death on the cross, we are drawn to you as the source of life. We pray that we may never be conscious of your love for us, and draw closer to you, the way, the truth, and the life.
After these things, Joseph of Arimathea, who was a disciple of Jesus, though a secret one because of his fear of the Jews, asked Pilate to let him take away the body of Jesus. Pilate gave him permission, so he came and removed the body. Nicodemus, who had at first come to Jesus by night, also came, bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, weighing about 100 pounds. They took the body of Jesus and wrapped it with the spices in linen cloths, according to the burial custom of the Jews. Now there was a garden in the place where he was crucified. And in the garden there was a new tomb in which no one had ever been laid. And so, because it was the Jewish day of preparation, and the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there.
How prepared are we to console and attend to people in their sorrow? In their sadness, your friends cared for you with the rituals that showed their love for you. Your love for us burst out of the still tomb where they laid you. We pray that we may always live close to you, so that we can face our own dark times, conscious of your love and saving power.
So here we are, standing where we never thought we could, at the foot of death, crushed under the fickleness of humanity. The heart of heaven has stopped. All that hope, the dreams of peace, the promises of justice that you so burned with, snuffed out with a few nails and a crossbeam. O Jesus, what do we do now? What is there left to do? It is a cold place where the breath of heaven stops. It is a frightening place. It is a lonely place. This is what the world does to love, and then turns its back, rubbing its hands, finished with the final enemy. Oh Jesus, what do we do now? What is there left to do? The Saviour has died, and the future seems lost, out of our grasp. Oh Jesus, what do we do now? What is there left to do? What do we do now? We wait beyond eternity. We hope beyond every hope we've ever had. And we trust beyond belief in a God who cannot leave it here. And so we sing, "Were you there when they crucified my Lord?" Go silently from here, for there are no words which will speak of this moment in the life of God. Go blessed by the company of God, who dies rather than leave us alone. Go blessed by the faithfulness of Christ, who chooses life in the face of death. And go as those who stay with truth, even as we wait for Easter Day. Amen.